Welcome to this very special episode of Above the Cloud. With this, I would like to start a new series which we can call the Bhakti Jewel Garland. Let me explain. There was once a great scholar living in Kashi. Word came to Puri that he's actually a great Vaishnavas, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about him. But the devotees who were there around Gauranga Mahaprabhu, they said, it can't be, because Vishnupuri is residing in Kashi. From this we can understand that he has a strong inclination for jnana and for obtaining impersonal liberation. You always choose your residence according to where it's possible to achieve your ends. But in reply, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that Vishnupuri's mind was only fixed on Krishna. In fact, he would be the greatest devotee. In order to prove this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote a cryptic letter to Vishnupuri. Kindly send a garland of jewels for me. I would like this very much. When Vishnupuri received this letter, he smiled and he understood the intention of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It took him some time, but finally he was able to send his garland of jewel. It was a book written on palm leaves called Bhakti Ratnavali, the Bhakti Garland. He had carefully collected many jewel-like verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which were glorifying devotional service. This literature clearly established in 13th chapter the topmost platform of devotional service. He made all other scriptures seem to be like brass lines in comparison to a gold line. Insignificant. It is my great desire that I live long enough to present these 13 chapters of jewel-like verses to all of you. We will start with the three verses which are coming up at the end of the Bhagavatam. Three jewel-like verses about Krishna. Here is is one of them. Jayati janani vaso devaki janma vado yaduvara parishat svaya durbhya asyan adharamam, etc. Lord Sri Krishna is he who is known as Jananivasa, the ultimate refuge and resort of all living entities. He is also known as Devaki Nandan or Yashoda Nandan, the son of Devaki and Yashoda. He is the guide of the Yadu dynasty, and with his mighty arms he kills everything inauspicious as well as every person who is impious. By his presence he destroys all things inauspicious for all living entities, moving and inert. His blissful smiling face always increases the lusty desires of the gopis of Vrindavan. May he be all glorious. May he be all happy. in this verse, sadness is destroyed. The devotees of today could say, what misfortune it is that Krishna did not continue to manifest his blissful pastimes down to the present time. To console us, Srila Shukadev Goswami has composed this verse. He starts with saying, Jayati. Jayati means he is victorious because Krishna is eternally present in this world. He's present in his holy abode. His holy name and the recitation of his glories. Thus, even people of today can contact him. The next point is, although Krishna is famous as the son of Devaki and Yashoda, he's not a mere human being, but actually he's the eternal, most ancient Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's the ultimate shelter. Next is that he is the embodiment of all dynamic powers. With his own arms, or by his devotees like Arjuna, who are just like his own arms, Krishna kills the demons opposing religion or who are adharmic. Thus Krishna destroys the misery of material life, of all non-moving and moving entities, and he removes the suffering due to separation of the inhabitants of Braj. See, Krishna is so auspicious that even with a small contact, the tip of the tongue may chant just his name, he steals away all the sinful reactions. He is auspicious to the creepers, the trees, the plants, who are interacting with him and who meditate. Oh, when will Krishna walk in my direction? When will he put his hand on me or his lotus feet? In fact, Shukadev Goswami said that both those who hated Krishna and those who loved him attained eternal forms like his in the spiritual world. It's very auspicious, infectiously auspicious, you could say. An example has been provided by our Shukadev Goswami. He has said that Ganga is a holy place of pilgrimage because her waters wash Lord Krishna's feet. So let us consider this example. Anyone who comes in contact with the Ganga, a pauper, a king, a healthy individual, a mentally disabled one, they all will be washed clear by their karma, by a single bath. But when the Lord descended amongst the Yadus, his glories eclipsed even the glories of the Ganga, because as a pilgrimage place, because anyone who came to Krishna, even demons, even the soldiers at the battlefield of Kurukshetra who opposed him, were blissfully leaving their bodies and attained him. The next point is that Krishna is the transcendental Kamadeva, or God of love. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, whom I'm quoting often in these Above the Clouds episodes, gives an illustration. He says, the transcendental Kamadeva is a brilliant spiritual personality arising from Krishna's own internal spiritual nature. All living entities in this material world have sensual desires, but Krishna is a transcendent God of love who is able to even quell or stop these material desires in anyone who comes in contact with him. Someone who comes in contact with the transcendent Kamadeva has only one desire left, eventually. How can I serve you, my Lord? How can I please you? And so on and so forth. This is what Krishna consciousness does with us. Krishna charms the world through the Adi Ras, the original taste, the original pleasure, which when we hear about it, we are becoming purified in the heart. The question now is, when Shukadev Goswami says, Jayati, that is, you are eternally present in this world, may you be victorious always. We get it, hope. But still the question is, how do I make contact with Krishna, who is present amongst all living beings? In this form he's known as Jananivasa, he who is present amongst all the living beings, and also, of course, within their hearts. The answer is given by Shukadev Goswami. In the second canto, he says, Yat kirtanam, yat smaranam, yat ikshanam. And so on. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all-auspicious Lord Shri Krishna, about whom glorification, remembrances, audience, prayers, hearing, and worship can at once cleanse the effects of all the sins of the performers. Srila Prabhupada writes, the devotees need not be disappointed in the physical absence of the Lord, though they may think of not being associated with him. The devotional process of chanting, hearing, remembering, either all or some of them, or even one of them, can give us the desired result of associating with the Lord by discharging the transcendent and loving service of the Lord in the above manner. Here we have a practical list, a contact list, if you so want, that helps us to associate with the Lord. First, kirtanam, or glorification. When you sing about Krishna, sing with the intention to glorify him. Second, remembrance. After you have heard about Krishna, it's good that throughout the day you try to remember episodes or something you have heard about in order to train your mind to think those thoughts that really elevate it. Third, audience. For this, you can move into the temple, see the deities of the Lord. Fifth, prayers. Sixth, hearing. Best is from devotees, because then the nectar, the honey, so to say, of Krishna's lotus feet is more open and visible. And last and not least, worship. In bhakti, who is the priest and who is the layman? Everyone, including the layman and all the various levels of adhikar, or capabilities in spiritual life, they all can worship Krishna put a flower before his picture, wave an incense stick, put regularly a glass of water, or just be before him and pray to him, and you will associate with Krishna for sure. All these ways are direct roads into Krishna's audience, into his personal presence. I thank you very much for listening. I wish you all the best and hope to see you very soon for the continuation of this wonderful jewel of jewel garland of nectarian verses.